Good morning, my friends and brethren in the Lord. Welcome to God's Word for Today devotional. How are you today? We hope that God will continue to guide us and shed and illumine us through His Word so that we'll be able to glean principles to live by today and every day. So let me read to us our text for today in Esther chapter 7, verses 7 to 10. And the king arose in his wrath from the wine drinking and went into the palace garden. But Haman stayed to beg for his life from Queen Esther, for he saw that harm was determined against him by the king. And the king returned from the palace garden to the place where they were drinking wine, as Haman was falling on the couch where Esther was. And the king said, "Will he even assault the queen in my presence, in my own house?" As the word left the mouth of the king, they covered Haman's face. Then Harbona, one of the eunuchs in attendance on the king, said, "Moreover, the gallows that Haman has prepared for Mordecai, whose word saved the king, is standing at Haman's house, 50 cubits high." And the king said, "Hang him on that." So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the wrath of the king abated. We learn the principle here of reaping what is sown. What you sow, you reap. And even the statement, what goes around, goes around. So upon hearing that Haman was the culprit from Esther, the king was shocked, so that he jumped to his feet in a rage. And he went out into the palace garden. And during this time, out of despair, Haman fell down on the couch where Queen Esther was reclining. He was begging. Just as the king was returning from the palace garden, the king, when he saw that, exclaimed, "Will he even assault the queen right here in the palace before my very eyes?" And as soon as the king spoke, his attendants covered Haman's face, signaling his doom. These descriptions really described how angry, how furious was the king. Certainly, the fact that Haman has hurt the queen has enraged the king. It was enough reason for the king to be enraged against Haman. But moreover, did not Haman deceive him? The fact that the king has to pass the blame to him and everything, it seems to us that this might imply that although he gave consent to the planned massacre, yet he was deceived. Yet he was not aware of everything. So that added to his rage and anger. Yes, he was a wicked king. And as a wicked king, he has to pass the blame to Haman for everything. But I think because of that deception from Haman, it has fueled more enrage and anger to the king. Had he known that Esther was a Jew, the story could be different. We don't know. Unknown to all men, this kind of scenario that an ungodly man in the person of the king Ahasuerus and Haman, men with evil intentions, we see here that they were instruments for God's purposes. From the beginning up to this time that we learn the story of Esther and Mordecai and how they come into this situation, we learn that these circumstances are not random events, but they are jigsaw puzzles that perfectly fit in God's beautiful plan and purpose. In other words, God is on top of everything. So that's the beauty that we are reading a story that was written for our guidance today, that we can learn how God had been on top of every plot, every turn and twist, every ups and down here or anything that happened here, God is on top of everything. So in Harbona, one of the king's eunuchs told the king about the 50 feet high gallows that Haman prepared for Mordecai, found in their house. He ordered right away that Haman be hung there. In other words, What Haman had sown, he had reaped. He had a taste of his own medicine. He was shooting his own foot here. Let's remember the principle that Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Surely, God could never be treated with contemptuous attitude. You cannot fool God. Those who are making jokes about God today would meet him someday. As David writes in Psalm 7, verse 15 to 16, he, referring to God here, makes a pit. Oh no, referring to the person who is fooling God here. He makes a pit, digging it out, and falls into the hole that he has made. His mischief returns upon his own head, and on his own skull, his violence descends. That's the observation of King David upon those wicked people who goes or who rebel against God. God's judgment is low, yes, but it will surely happen. The reason why he delays his judgment is that he is a compassionate God. We learn that God is compassionate. When Noah was preaching for 120 years, or maybe close to 120 years, before he sent the judgment, it took 120 years for God to judge the world by flood through Noah, because he was waiting for wicked scoffers and ungodly people to repent, but they did not. Today, there are still scoffers. There are still people who laughed at the Bible, laughed at the promises of God. They will mock that the Bible is just written by men and we cannot trust the Bible. It's a myth. But as Peter expressed, let me read here what he writes in 2 Peter 3, verse 8 to 10. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Wow. If it happened during the time of Noah, it will surely happen. These words from the Bible through the writings of Peter will happen. There will come a time that God will come like a thief, and he will judge his world. So let's remember here, those who sow wickedness, they will always reap God's wrath and judgment. So let's not forget this principle: what you sow, you reap. Let's always sow goodness and mercies and good things, and we will reap the same. May God help us. Let us pray. Father, we pray that this principle of sowing and reaping, we will remember. Lord, we are surrounded by people who are mockers, scoffers today. We read it in the newspapers, hear it from the social media and every media outlet. But thank you, Lord, that your word will always stand true. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word will never pass away. Forever it is settled in the heavens. Help us, Lord, to stand true to the word of God, that we will continue to sow goodness, and someday we will reap. And you promise, Lord, that you are not unrighteous to forget what we have done in life, but we'll always be faithful. So bless us to our hearts today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.